Good evening. May the grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ, and also to those who join us online. So please open your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. As you are turning there, you might already know that Apostle Paul was an apostle of the Gentiles. So when he shared gospel with the Gentiles, there's always a tension between Gentiles and the Jews, whether they should be circumcised. And today, Paul gives you a warning to the church of Philippi, and also the same warning in the book of Galatians and the book of Colossians. He says, "You are justified by the righteousness from God by faith alone, not by your own work like circumcision." So here is the word of God, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this wonderful opportunity we can worship you together. May your Holy Spirit be with us and give us the courage and the strength to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. A young sailor was once left in charge of the helm with directions from the captain to keep his eye on a certain star and steer the vessel directly towards it. The young sailor promised to do that faithfully. The captain went below and fell asleep. After a while, he awoke, went on deck, and found the vessel sailing in a course exactly opposite to that in which he had directed the helmsman to steer. The captain asked, "What does all that mean, Patrick?" The sailor replied, "Well, captain, you must pick me out another star, for I have sailed clear by that one." Just so, many have turned their back on God, and heaven, and the light, and the peace, and think they have sailed by all the revelations of God, and want someone to pick them another star. Today, you might be quite busy in your life, fighting for your dreams, achieving your goals, or just enjoying your life. But the challenge for you today, do you have a clear direction where you are heading? Or where is your hope in this world? The text of Philippians today reminds you that you are saved by the righteousness of Christ, not your own. So your hope is found in Him alone. And the children, if you draw, you can draw a picture that you are throwing garbage into a trash can. You are saved by Jesus alone. If anyone tells you someone else you are saved, then it is rubbish. Throw it into your trash can. As we look into the text, I want you to notice that first, beware the attractive false teaching which says salvation is by your work. All of a sudden, Paul changed to be seriously. He used a heavy word in his letter. In verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. The young church of Philippi were being told by some very respectable, very religious people who actually claimed them to be Christian. They said, you could never be acceptable to God unless you get yourself circumcised. Paul calls these people dogs, wild animals, leading others astray, spreading a dangerous and potentially fatal disease. Paul has two words for you. Watch out. In Galatians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In my culture, today we still have the tradition to worship our ancestor, especially in the countryside. During the Spring Festival, the Lunar Chinese New Year, most Chinese will go back to their hometown. Nearly 1 billion people move around the whole country. Really hard to find a ticket to go back. On the third day of the first month, we will go to sweep the tomb of our ancestors. It is a tomb sweeping day. People will burn dross paper, also called spirit paper, to their ancestors, and they will kneel to them. We will also light off firecrackers to let ancestors know we are there to give them money. And we will call their name to do so. Years later, as a Christian, I knew that I couldn't do that anymore, but it is quite a struggle to me because everyone else do that, and it is so easy to feel guilty if you don't follow that. But this is the tradition of man, not according to Christ. Christians can't do that. Not so long ago, a survey in the Western church people, they asked about 7,000 churchgoers whether they agreed with this statement. The way to be accepted by God is to try sincerely to live a good life. More than 60% agreed with this statement. In other words, many Christians believed that they could be good enough for God by doing good things or not doing bad things. For some people, it means doing a lot of religious things like going to church or communion or confession. That was very much the case for Paul before he met Jesus. Although for most of you, circumcision isn't the issue anymore. The dogs are not dead. They are still out there or in here trying to bully you into thinking that Jesus' righteousness doesn't go far enough that we somehow have to meet him halfway with your own righteousness. With your church going, your money giving, your communion taking, your Bible reading, and your doing of these good deeds, they are wonderful things to do. But they become bad if you start to think they can make you more righteousness. If you start to take the place of your dependency on Jesus and his righteousness, you need to repent not only for your sin, but also for your righteousness. You need to examine, is there anything else you put your confidence in your salvation? So second, what are you tempted to place your confidence in? In this part, Paul gives his own resume, his CV. He is circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He is a leader of men, highly educated. If there is moral laws to be kept, he sincerely kept them. Religiously and ethically, he done everything right. Are there more piety than Paul himself? If Paul doesn't put his confidence in his work, then there's no reason for you to do so. If you judge by works, Tibetan Buddhism are much more piety than Christians. Holy mountains and the divine mountain ranges play an important part in Tibetan Buddhism and are treated with respect and reverence by all. The holy mountains attract streams of visitors and pilgrims to view their majesty and pray at their slopes. When pilgrims started out, they began mumbling mantras and raised their hands to heaven. They dropped their knees and flung their bodies forward, fully prone against the damp earth. Then they stood up, took three small steps, and repeated the sequence. For more than 6 months or even longer, they have prostrated themselves in this way. All day, every day, inch warming their way to Lhasa, the capital city of Tibet, and its holy sites. Compared with them, today you sit very comfortably in your church pew, and on top there is even a cushion, so more comfortable. So if judged by work, Tibetan Buddhism are more acceptable to God. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 2 to 6, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify against to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Paul says you should put no confidence in the flesh. In other words, you should put no confidence in who you are and what you have done, whether it be circumcision nor any other moral religious act. Your confidence should solely in Christ and what he has done. Jesus is the only one who can make you good enough for God, because he and he alone lived the life you should have lived, and he alone died the death you deserve to die, so that you could be accepted by God and enjoy him forever. Your righteousness must be in him and only in him. Then what's the role of your good works regarding salvation? So three, compared to Christ's work, yours are rubbish. In verse 7 to 8, Paul describes the moral and religious achievements as garbage. In the original Greek, the word translated garbage is much stronger. If anyone in the history of the world could appeal to God on the basis of his moral or religious goodness, Paul was the man. But he doesn't do that anymore. By the work of the Holy Spirit, you turn around to your Savior, Jesus Christ. You will see the real righteousness is only be found in Jesus. Imagine that at the end of your life, when you stand before God, and God says, "Why I should accept you?" You will hand him your resume, and on it will be only one word, Jesus. So never take your garbage to see God. God will throw it away just like you do that every week. You throw out your own garbage. Once a week, you need to throw your garbage in your house into your garbage can and put it on your driveway. And then the city cleaners can take it away. Every time when you open your garbage can, you throw the garbage into it and you will close it as soon as possible. Why? Because it smells really, really bad. It is disgusting. Do you ever see a mountain of garbage? Then you will get an idea of what the word Paul has in mind. In Romans chapter 9, 31 to 32, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. I quoted from the Discipleship Explored. If you are trying to make yourself righteous by your own efforts, you will become either self-righteous or self-loathing. On the one hand, if you believe you can make yourself righteous and you think you are doing a great job of it, then you will just get proud and you will start to look down on people. On the other hand, if you are doing a bad job, then you will get totally depressed because no matter how hard you try, you just continue failing. Many people will be between those two. If you can do some good works, people around you are happy and God is pleased. If you fail, you feel guilty. You think you don't achieve the mark, and then you need to strive hard in order to please God. The worst part is this. If you are trying to make yourself righteous, you are effectively saying to God, "I have done all these things for you, so now you own me." It is ridiculous. You are treating the creator of the universe as if he's in your debt. You are obeying him to get what you want rather than obeying him simply because you love him. In that regard, you need to repent not only for your sin, but also for your righteousness. You badly need the righteousness of Jesus. Remember, by work, you can't earn your salvation. You can't save yourself. So number four, you are saved by Christ, for only he is righteous. The only way you get his righteousness is not by moral or religious efforts, but by simple trust in him. It is a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Your righteousness depends entirely on Christ's righteousness. John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress and who himself spent many years in prison, was walking in the fields one morning and this line came into his mind. "Your righteousness is in heaven." Bunyan said, "With the eyes of my soul, I saw Jesus at the Father's right hand, so that Whatever I was or whatever I was doing, God could not say to me, where is your righteousness? For it is always right before him. I saw that it is not my good frame of heart that made righteousness better, or bad frame that made my righteousness worse. For my righteousness is Christ. Boyce said his father was an orthopedic surgeon. Quite a few years ago, a man was brought into the emergency room. His father was on duty, and he saw at a glance that the man had been partially paralyzed. His legs had been broken, and there were deep lacerations over much of his body. But he could not feel these things because a nerve had been pinched by the spine. His father began to operate on him using a local anesthetic and occasionally asked if the man could feel anything from his injury. The questioning went like this. Do you feel anything here? No. Do you feel anything now? No. At last, his father came to a piece of splintered bone that was pressing on the nerves. That time, as he removed the bone and asked, can you feel anything now? The answer came back loudly, yes, yes, I can feel it. It was a cry of pain, but it was a pleasing cry, for it was the first step in the man's complete recovery. It might be the same thing for you today. God's verdict upon the human race includes all people. It declares all human righteousness unable to satisfy the righteous standards of God. Are you sensitive to God's verdict? Do you feel the truth of his statements? If not, there is a spiritual disorder in your life, and God must begin to operate on it before you will come to him. God's righteousness applied on you is the beginning of your spiritual recovery. Then you can feel the spiritual pain of how deep your sin destroys your whole person. Otherwise, you won't feel it. You would rather say something like, this is me, this is my place, and even there's a problem, this is my problem, just leave me alone. But when you're saved by God, you will know that you are his people, you are his child, you are saved by Christ. Furthermore, you need to know your hope is not built on earth. So, 5, in Christ alone, you have the hope of resurrection. You need hope to live in this fallen world. Resurrection is your hope. The power of his resurrection is your strength, your shield, and your refuge. Have this vision in your mind, your life will be changed. Your momentary affliction won't disturb you anymore. This eternal hope will cast out fear and bring you joy. The first two Scottish missionaries sent to the New Hebrides Islands were killed and eaten by cannibals on the day they arrived. After that, it proved difficult to find missionary volunteers. But even when John G. Patton agreed to go, well-meaning people in the church tried to dissuade him. One elderly man warned that he would be eaten by the cannibals. Patton replied, I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. After 15 years of fruitful ministry, almost everyone on the island of Anewa, where Patton ministered, was converted. Serving God is not a guarantee of any easy life, but you are called to a life of service, even if it means giving up everything. In Gospel Matthew chapter 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Do you still remember the story I told you about the sailor and the captain in the beginning? If you are the sailor who is in charge of the helm of your life, then Jesus is the captain who gives you directions. And the resurrection is the star in heaven. And you should keep your eye on it. Steer your vessel directly towards it. Resurrection is your hope in this life. Jesus won't disappoint you. Trust him, embrace him, and submit to him. Remember, you are saved by Christ's righteousness, not your own. So your hope is found in Jesus alone. Amen. Let's respond and sing Psalm 143a. Hear my prayer, O Lord. In your righteousness, I am justified. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. So please stand and sing Psalm 143a.